passage that was read so beautifully for us earlier, there are a couple of verses I'd like us to draw our attention to specifically today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them, all men. It's very interesting, Kim, that you looked up all that history about Pentecost. Because it's very important for us to know that Pentecost, the birthday of the church, goes back a very long way, and for different people it means different things. Any idea for the people of the Jewish community what's really important for them to eat today as they celebrate Pentecost? Any idea? It's cheesecake, by the way. Cheesecake is really important to eat today if you're part of the Jewish community. And Pentecost, in its Hebrew term, which I've read a Shavat, it doesn't really matter how you pronounce some of the Old Testament words because no one really knows how they were pronounced. There were no vowels in ancient Hebrew. They've all been added in afterwards and they're marked as different little symbols underneath letters. It just had consonants. So they've been added in the past. So have a good go at pronouncing it. Say it with confidence and you'll most probably be fairly close to what it should be. And part of Shavat is the Festival of Weeks, celebrating the first fruits of harvest. And that's an important part of celebration. But it's also a celebration of the law. And originally, and during Jesus' time, the law that would have been considered were the laws that were given to Noah's family. They go back that length of time. Today, what will be done is Ruth would have been read on the Sabbath, the whole book of Ruth, and the laws that were given in Exodus chapter 19 and 20. And they will be read underneath a canopy. Anyone know what the significance of the canopy is? No, not the tabernacle. No. Any of you into the, like Fiddler on the Roof, the musical? It's out again at the moment. It's in the West End. But one of the songs, the girls ask, is there a canopy for me? And canopies are really important for the marriage ceremony. And the law was read and is read now under a canopy because of the importance of the relationship between us and God. In the passage we're looking at today, Paul uses the picture of the body to emphasize how important it is that we work together. In other places, the church is pictured as the bride of Christ. And we receive God's law in loving relationship with him. So having the law read under the canopy emphasizes God's loving, gracious relationship to us through the law as it was then. So, a bit of background there to Pentecost. And why is that important? This is, after all, the birthday of the church. What is so important about knowing some of the background? Firstly, we need to remember it was something of a celebration in Jesus' day and in the day of the disciples. And that great day when the church really became into being. people from all over the known world who were either Jews or proselytes. They were people who had adopted the Jewish faith and followed it completely, wanted to be in Jerusalem to celebrate this great festival of weeks and to celebrate God's law. So gathered together in front of the disciples were all the people there to celebrate. And it was so important for the disciples and for the early church because it meant that Peter's preaching was not just for the Jews, but for people from the known world. In Acts, there's a list of the countries that they knew were there. It's almost as though you're parading around the Olympics with your flag up and your team behind you. All the different groups of people from different countries who were there celebrating. And the importance of that was the old order of the chosen people, the Jews, had gone. And God's loving grace and mercy was now for all who would call upon his name as Lord. So it was a big step forward. God was opening up his plan. His chosen people, the Jews, had not understood him fully, had not understood the breadth of his love and his grace and mercy. And now he was opening that up to the world. And as Peter preached and the Spirit came down, men and women who were there understood and turned to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a fantastic day for the church. Completely transforming everything that God was doing. But what does it say to us today? We are so many years on. And yet this is a real experience for the church. So we look into Paul and find out what he is saying. And first of all, the importance of Pentecost is that we are a united church. We are a united church. One of the things we used to have to study at college was church history. I did my dissertation in church history. And it's absolutely fascinating to see how many schisms, how many different arguments there are amongst churches over the years, and all the splits that there have been. We see it in current church life. Someone will have an idea and they would perhaps say, this is the way we need to worship and this is the way God wants us to be. And some people will go and join that church. And it might be completely different to what we experience in our own fellowship. I'm reading a series of books at the moment about someone called Brother Hermitage. Any of you come across Brother Hermitage? They're sort of mysteries. They're set around 1066, that sort of period. But the first book of the series is all about a schism in the church, where they say, on the one hand, you should be experiencing, like Jesus did in the wilderness, all the hardship, all the pain and experience his suffering. So anyone who chooses the religious life will need to give up everything. And on the other hand, people are saying, oh, but how do you know what suffering is if you can't experience real pleasure? So you've got to experience wonderful things and be living that life in order to know that you are missing out. So you had the one group saying, yes, do everything you want, eat what you want, drink what you want. and the other group saying, no, give it all up. So you had these splits that have come in church history. But the truth is, we need to be a united church. And if we are a living, breathing church, community, then we need to be united. That doesn't mean to say we're going to agree on everything. That doesn't mean to say we've all got the same gifts. But we need to be living and united. Paul points to a couple of things with the Corinthians, because the Corinthians had their problems. So he wanted to remind them that there were some very important things that they needed to remember. And he said to them, first of all, remember, you were pagans. And as pagans, you worshipped dead idols. Those things that were important in your life and felt you should bring your worship to had no life in them. Now you have the living God. And the living God is in you and working through you by the power of the Spirit. And he said to them, those idols, they never spoke to you. You had no verbal relationship with them. But God speaks to you. God has this living relationship with you, and he speaks to you through prophecy, through preaching. He speaks to you through his word. Remember, you've come from that, and you are now in this relationship with God. And in this relationship with God, it is the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God, and you are working with them to bring your gifts to support one another. So we have this picture of unity. But then, Paul quite clearly talks about diversity. His picture here is of the body. Now, and emphasising all the different parts of the body have their role. Did any of you watch Trooping of the Colour yesterday? Incredible spectacle. On Wednesday morning, I got into work to find I'd had an email from a parent to say, would you mind if my daughter leaves an hour early on Friday? Because we've got tickets for the Trooping of the Colour. She'd left till the very last minute to ask me. She obviously thought I was going to say no, but who can say no to someone who has that opportunity? So I was eagerly looking to see if I could pick her out in the crowd. They were actually in the quadrant where everything was happening and taking place. What a spectacle to see the marching and the rehearsing and the practicing that there must have been for all of those men to be moving, and women obviously, to be moving in the way that they did, and to know to take their place, to be exactly right in where they were standing. And then all the medical background. Did any of you pick up the interview with the person who was the doctor who has been researching how to avoid people fainting? Because whatever they can work out to support people on an occasion like that, with the length of time they're standing, with the heat, it can also be transferred into the battlefield and other places. Do I need to move better in a better position for the mic? You prefer me on that? Do you want me to take this off completely and turn it? Okay. Whatever, as I was saying, that research can be transferred from the pageantry into the battlefield, because some of the strains and stresses on the body are very similar. But it was fantastic to see everyone working together in that role and that pageantry yesterday. But people had different roles. There were those who were in command. There were those who not only had to play instruments, but also had to guide and manage horses. There were those who had horses that were pulling heavy obstacles. It was absolutely incredible to watch it. Our bodies have to work together for us to really experience everything that God has given us to experience. We are one body, and we know that if something isn't working right in our bodies, then we can't get everything that we can out of life. I'm short-sighted. If I haven't got my glasses, well, God help all of us, really. But for another person, there may be another part of their body that isn't working properly. For my husband, he had a period when he had AF, and he went from running 10 miles on a Monday and then 5 miles every day to not being able to run at all for a period. In fact, he struggled to go up to walk upstairs without being out of breath. We all know what it is for when part of our body isn't working properly. For me at work, I have lots of young people whose bodies and minds do not work as God intended them to work. And part of my role is enabling them to find ways to accommodate that part of them that isn't working as it should. And for me, to enable them to access education, even though they have things that stand in their way. And for us with the body of Christ, we all have different gifts. And Paul quite clearly points out a list of them. And we have actually two lists in our readings. There are other lists as well. And I think altogether throughout the epistles, there are 27 different gifts that are mentioned. And because they're different lists, we can assume that these are not exhaustive lists of gifts. Each one of us has our role to play in the body of Christ. Now, I grew up in a church where there was Christian Endeavour. Does anyone recall that organisation, Christian Endeavour? I can see a raised eyebrow there, which I think is meaning yes. And our minister would always make certain that we all had a role at church. And he was quite forceful about it. We had some quite extraordinary people all together. We had the first woman lecturer at Cardiff University. She was she had PhD in mathematics. She took her degree at Cambridge before they allowed women to graduate, and she didn't graduate until the 1990s. We had twin sisters who were both head teachers. We had lots of remarkable men as well. Our church treasurer had survived Japanese prisoner of war camp and was really particular, and we knew actually how many broom handles there had been bought during a year, right down to the finest details. But our minister had a way of picking out the right roles for people and finding gifts in people that you think, oh, yes, actually, that is a really spiritual ability. Thinking particularly of two ladies, two older ladies, we call them the flower girls. They never arranged a flower. Their job was to receive a list from the minister of people who were going to receive flowers because they were unwell or something special had happened to them. And they would go through the names and prayerfully together they would pick out appropriate verses of scripture that were written on cards and accompanied the flowers. And the first thing people looked at was the verse, because it was such an encouragement in whatever the circumstances. What a tremendous gift to be able to sit down and know what was right to say some of them and the word that the Lord had for those people in the situations they found themselves. So we weren't a perfect church, and those of you who know anything about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he had lots of things accredited to him, and one of the things he's supposed to have said to a woman who came up to him and said, "I'm looking for the perfect church," and he said, "Oh, when you find it, don't join it, because you'll spoil it." And the truth is, we are all human. We are all fallen. We all have things about us that, even at their very best, are not wonderful. But we are put together as people of God to work together. And our gifts complement each other, and together we can work as a body together and bring God's message of salvation to a community around us. So the challenge is about unity and working together as a body, regardless of our diversity. It is really important that we take that on board. But finally, there is maturity that we need to think about. So unity, diversity, and maturity. Paul was writing to a young church, the church at Corinth. They had experienced great things because they had experienced God for the first time as a group of people who were outside the Jewish community. They'd experienced the power of the risen Lord Jesus, and they'd received him as their saviour. But they had problems. They had problems within their fellowship. And if you read the chapter before, it's the words of the communion that we often read when we share communion together. But before that, we find out that it was being abused. The whole role of the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper was being abused in Corinth. They didn't think about one another's needs. They didn't care about each other. People ate what they wanted to because it was a full meal without sharing. And there was a lot that Paul was concerned about in the church. So maturity was really important for this group of people. They were young in their faith and they needed to grow and learn together. My husband, we all have a secret shame, don't we, with television. My secret shame is I do like the one about wedding dresses. I've just forgotten what it's called. What's the programme where... Say Yes to the Dress, yes. Do like Say Yes to the Dress. I've got two daughters, both of them long-term boyfriends, 3 years each of them. And I do wonder if I need to just keep an eye on this so I know how to be a bit of an awkward mother when it comes to choosing the dress. So it's my secret shame. My husband's, one of them, is Doctor Who. He has seen practically every episode of Doctor Who. It's been inflicted on us as a family over the last, well, for me, 30 years. But there was one series of stories where David Tennant was the... doctor, and his sidekick was called Donna. And Donna entered the series on a Christmas special, and she could only be described as an airhead. She arrived in her wedding dress, everything had gone completely wrong, she'd landed into this supernatural situation, she couldn't remember anything, and you could only describe her as a complete airhead. But the longer she spent time with the doctor, the more remarkable she came. She changed and transformed. She could interpret situations. She was looking ahead and looking for things that were working together to point towards what was important. She'd matured in a way that was unrecognizable to to her family. I won't go on with the rest of it because that changes it all and doesn't help. But at that point, the change and transformation and the maturity, that is so important for us as Christians to be eager for. And Paul, in the following chapter to the one that we look at this morning, brings it all together because the importance is love. That is where we show our maturity, in love. So 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says some really crucial things. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. And then right at the end of the chapter, and now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You know, in a church, we're not going to get on with everybody because we're human. We're going to have people that we have disagreements with. But we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a God who gives to us in abundance. He gives his gifts to us through his Spirit as he chooses. Some of us in our churches and fellowships have gifts that are more obvious. Others, like the flower ladies at my home church, that are very much in the background, but are so very, very important. And it doesn't matter what our role is. What matters is we can put our differences aside. That the things that we might disagree with can be put to the back, and that we love one another. We support one another. We are faithful to one another as we are faithful to God. There's a verse in John: herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he first loved us and gave his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. John, in his epistle, couldn't have been more clear. We are here in fellowship together because of our Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all time, given by God to remove our sin. He became sin for us. And that great love empowers us to love one another. So on the birthday of the church, we celebrate the great gifts God has given us, that we can work together as a community, but remember that the greatest of all is love. And we're going to sing of that love together as we sing our closing hymn: Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, Joy of Heaven to Earth Come Down.